session of the University City City Council to order on Monday, May the 8th, 2023. Before we move to the subject matter at hand, are there any changes to the regular agenda for tonight's meeting? Mr. Rose.
Mayor, I would recommend moving item K1 from the consent agenda and placing it as item L5 under the city manager's report.
Okay. Anyone else? Hearing no one else. Mr. Rose.
Mayor and council members, this item asks that you receive an update from the Metropolitan Sewer District on Project CLEAR and any other information that they would like to provide and provide direction as you believe appropriate.
Is anyone here to introduce them, or is MSD just coming up on their own? They are here. We have a whole crew of folks here from MSD.
Yes.
If you'll hit the button at the bottom of the microphone, please.
It stays on. Okay. Good evening, everyone. My name is Brian Holstrom. I'm the executive director and CEO at MSD. Based on what we understand the request to be, we've brought a couple of individuals. I've got some folks from my engineering department to kind of go over what's going on with the wastewater side of the program, especially around we've had a couple of false starts in University City about addressing some of the issues with the wastewater and storage of the tunnels. We came to an agreement. We were asked to kind of give an update where we're at with that part of the wastewater program. My staff will do that. Then I'll come up where we're at with stormwater funding. We're in the middle of a rate proposal. I'll kind of go through that, what the funding looks like, what we hope becomes available, and hopefully what the world looks like after April 2024. And we'll answer any questions as we're going through that. So
thank you.
The first person that's going to speak for us is Brad Navoy. He's an assistant director of engineering with MSD.
We have some presentation material. I'll just give it to you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you for handing those out. As Brian mentioned, my name is Brad Navoy, Assistant Director of Engineering in the Design Section. And we've been asked to come bring an update on Project CLEAR in general. I'm going to cover the wastewater side of things first. Rich Underfirth is the Director of Engineering. He's here. And if you have questions specific to the wastewater section, we can cover those for you here tonight. So the first exhibit you have there, the big overall map that you see, that is to show all the projects we have identified in University City. There's a black outline that outlines the corporate boundaries of University City. To help orient you, on the left-hand side of the map is Interstate 170. And to the north, you should see Page up there at the north side of University City. The various shapes that you see on the map there represent different things. The red shapes are sanitary and combined sewer projects. Related to our EPA agreement that we have in place. The blue shapes that you see are stormwater projects. There's a heavy green line that comes right up through the middle of the page, almost a little bit to the right-hand side. That represents a combined sewer tunnel that's a long-range project that we have planned. We're going to discuss that in more detail here in a little bit. The numbers that you see at each of the shapes, those represent our Oracle project numbers. Oracle is our project management system, and those are the project numbers, and those correlate to some future sheets I'm going to talk about here in a second. The next two sheets that you have are 8.5 by 11 sheets. The first sheet that you have there is a list of sanitary and combined sewer projects that we have identified in University City. The list includes, again, our Oracle project number that correlates with the map that you have on the front, when the project is scheduled to be designed, and anticipated construction start. Both those dates are listed by our fiscal years. We're 6 months ahead of the calendar year, just to give you an idea. Also, it gives a general description of the project all the way to the right. The second sheet that you have is a list of stormwater projects identified in University City, with the two projects that currently have funding at the very top of the list. And those are identified on the overall map with a green dollar sign next to the project. Brian's going to discuss stormwater a little bit later in our presentation. The final sheet that you have there is another 11 by 17 sheet, and that's an overall map of that large combined sewer tunnel that is laid in our program. That's an overall map to give you an idea of the extents of the project. It runs all the way from Maplewood all the way to University City, so a rather large project. The tunnel's still in the preliminary stages. We've identified the preliminary alignment on that drawing. The purpose of the tunnel is to limit combined sewer overflows into the area streams. The heavy green line that's on the very first map again, that represents just the section of tunnel that's programmed in University City area. The green and white striped lines that you see coming off that tunnel are what we call tunnel adits, or smaller tunnels that would go off the main tunnel to get to those combined sewer overflow locations to bring that flow into the big tunnel. Construction on that large tunnel is currently programmed at fiscal year 32. So we're a few years out. Obviously, we're going to have a lot of discussions before we get to construction on shaft locations and different things that we're going to need to talk about. Do you have any questions right out of the gate for us regarding the sanitary projects? That would be the red ones that are shown on the map. Again, a lot of those, really all those sanitary and combined sewer projects are related to our consent decree, our agreement that we have with the EPA to improve our system.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. So I'm looking at the first page. We've got blue is storm sewer, red is sanitary combined, and green is combined sewer tunnel, at least on the first page. And then the other page, it's yellow. What is the tunnel? What is the tunnel? The last time I think that we had an update on this, we were talking about an underground, I forget what you called it. I don't think it was a tunnel. It was a
storage facility.
So is this replacing that?
This would replace that, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the way we completed that conversation, that's been several years ago. At that time, we didn't even have a name for the project, but we identified it as a comprehensive solution. This tunnel provides storage and conveyance of the combined sewer flow and would take it down really to the river to pair where it would enter another tunnel.
Okay, and I apologize if I missed this, trying to follow all this as we jumped around. What is there? Is there a goal of a timeline for the tunnel?
For the tunnel project itself? Yes, it has to be done at the end of this 39.
Okay, thank you.
2039. Thank you.
Any other questions? I think most everybody's still processing the maps that we just got. So it's it would have been nice to have had some of this a little bit ahead of time.
Well, and I don't think we were completely sure what all you wanted to see and to what detail. I know it was a lot of information quick. I apologize about that. We were trying to give an overview of the entire program and not real down in the details on things.
Yep. Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. To the point of waterway maintenance, I've heard different theories about who is responsible for keeping those waterways clear. As you may be aware, our flood of last year was at least in some ways attributable to inlets and outflows being blocked. Who is responsible for getting brush and other debris out of those waterways?
You're stealing Brian's thunder. Brian's going to talk about that here in a little while. Yeah, we tried to cover the wastewater side of things, the sanitary sewers and the combined sewers. And then Brian will devote a lot of his discussion on stormwater.
Ms. Klein.
Yeah, I had a question about the, thank you for your presentation. I had a question about the green dotted lines that feed into the main green line.
Correct.
So are those side tunnels that come, that
they bring are.
The water from those areas into the main tunnel?
That's a good way to describe them. We call them tunnel adits. They're just smaller and they will go under the ground. And where they do come out of the ground, there will be some construction that will have to be done there.
Okay. I mean, I do see that they come from some of our most heavily flooded areas. So those would be important to.
Right. The combined sewer project isn't to address stormwater flooding. It's really to address the combined sewer overflow volume.
So is this affecting, because one of the questions that I had was a lot of the homes in our ward, the sewer backed up into their basements.
Uh-huh.
So is this more addressing that than the actual water from river to pair?
And I think Brian will touch on this a little bit as well, but this is really to deal with the combined sewer. University City has both separate sewers and combined sewers, and it's to address the combined sewers. We also have those red lines that are addressing those basement backups that you're talking about.
Okay, so those are more the red lines.
If there's a red line in that area, that will definitely help with the basement backups.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Just had a quick question about the rate proposal I have here that you distributed to us.
I don't mean to cut you off. Brian's going to cover that in detail.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't want to waste your time.
So what are the components of the presentation? Just so I'm not so, asking questions.
Again, I'm going to cover, I covered the wastewater, the sanitary and combined sewer stuff, the general project overview, and then Brian's going to talk about our new rate proposal, as well as the stormwater concerns that you have.
Okay.
Mr. McMahon.
Just real quick. So looking at the sanitary list, it's got 1, 2, 3, 4 sewer separation. So those would be helping with basement backups because you're separating stormwater from sanitary.
They should help, but the main purpose is to address the combined sewer issue.
And so are those the four areas left in U-City that need that type of work, or are there more that go beyond the list?
That's a good question, Rich. I don't know. I would think there's probably other areas. Some of those areas are being addressed with this tunnel.
Okay.
I talked about. Then some of the areas would be separated to where the storm and the sanitary are separated.
Okay. And what's the difference between separation and sanitary relief?
Sanitary relief, the area is already separated into a sanitary system and a storm system. It's just making the sanitary system larger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Sounds like we need to move on to whoever else is speaking.
Thank you.
Unless I missed it, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you again, Brian Holster. It sounds like maybe I should have gone first, but we wanted to hit those. I think before I get on to the stormwater part of the rate proposal and stormwater in general, I am going to go over the rate proposal sheet on the wastewater side that Brad just went through. There's a side called wastewater rate proposal. And next to it is the link to the rate proposal we've got in front of our rate commission. I want to let you, they're meeting right now. Our rate commission started meeting in April. They'll finish meeting in September. And there'll be a decision put in front of the voters in April 2024 with regard how to fund the wastewater part of the program. So if you take a, I'll just hit right to the big part. If you take a look at the chart, for those of you who have been through this before, it's exactly the same proposal that we put in front of the ratepayers every 4 years. We have a large amount of work to do right now. It's valued at $7.2 billion in 2023 dollars. And to fund the next 4 years, on the left-hand side, if the voters vote yes to approve an additional $750 million in bond funding, that's what will happen to the monthly rates of our typical wastewater customer. You see the percent increase per year, and then you see what the value is for the average customer to pay per month. The right-hand side is if the voters decide not to give us additional bonding authority. If they do, we then have to pay for the project with cash. And so what you see on the right is what will happen to rates and what the total per month will be. As you would suspect, it's just like buying a house. If you're going to pay for everything right now, it costs more. If you're going to borrow for money, it costs less. The thing to remember, for those of you who haven't heard this before, we are doing this work based on a consent decree or a legal judgment after being sued by the EPA and the Department of Justice, like every other community of our size. And they've given us a date certain to meet full compliance with the Clean Water Act. So these projects have to be done. The question from the voters on the wastewater side is, how would you like to fund the program? And that's what you see on this sheet. I'm not going to spend any more time on that unless somebody would like a further explanation. I guarantee you we'll be back at the end of the fall, winter, kind of trying to explain those choices to the ratepayers and to all the municipalities as well. Should I just move on? Okay, stormwater. I think the best way to start with that is probably, and then answer the individual questions, is on the next sheet. MSD has never had a district-wide revenue source to event to address flooding and erosion. We've been created and grown to different for different reasons. We've never had a district-wide source. The last time we went for a district-wide revenue source to the ratepayer was in 2019. It's to have address flooding and erosion issues, especially the flooding, not necessarily the erosion, isn't MSD's job. It's not in our charter, but we are do have the ability to raise funds and assist those who manage the floodplains and have to deal with flooding. We have the ability to assist with flooding methods. So we went to them in 2019. The public voted no, 47-53. So right now we do not have a district-wide funding source. The funding source that the city of University City sees is from an old small taxing district that was developed in the 1960s. There's a small amount of money to kind of piecemeal go after problems, and that's where we sit. There's 12 of them throughout the area between the city of St. Louis and 270. Seven of them, the municipality said we want to stay active. Five had decided to, they don't, so our board has set those rates at zero. The idea is to put a district-wide revenue source in that would replace all that. What we're talking about is proposing to the public, our surveying indicates that the typical customer is willing to spend $2 per month on flooding and erosion issues. That equates for the median household owner a 7.5 cent property tax. So that's what we're basing this on. The proposal will be a 7.5 cent property tax to pay for district-wide flooding and erosion issues. That's for the residential customers. Everybody else, commercial as well as not-for-profits, will also pay. They'll be charged based on an impervious area rate, based on the amount of impervious area on their property, things where water doesn't soak in, rooftops, driveways, those types of things. In total, that would produce a revenue of $34 million. Towards what right now is a $700 million problem, not counting the storms this past summer. So it lets us at least get started on the issue. One of the components that we put into the OMCIs that's probably important to University City, under the current OMCI schedule, when we turn those rates back on, we took half of the revenues to return back to the cities for stormwater grants to address any stormwater problem you thought was a priority, not using our priority system. under this new proposal, that amount will go up to $300,000 per year. That will be available for any stormwater as a grant for any stormwater problem this university city feels is important. And that way we're kind of working at the problem from above and working from the problem at for working at the problem from below as well. That's pretty much, I think, what I was offering on. I know there were specific other questions, but that's pretty much what I was offering for stormwater to let you know. We're trying again. This will be between the state, the Supreme Court, and the voters, our fourth try to develop a district-wide stormwater. So can we really, in a big way and regionally, go after the stormwater flooding and erosion issues?
Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. So the thank you for your presentation. So for the grant program, is that $300,000 per grant, or is that the total?
Per year.
So that's the total pot. So
that's total pot for University City. Right now, you've got available to you $230,000 a year under the local taxing program. It would go up into the new program to $300,000 per year.
Okay. And to, so now do I ask the question about who?
I think, yeah, all the other ones that we passed on.
Who's responsible for cleaning out the waterways?
Right. So the only creek and stream owned by MSD is River to Pear downstream of the tubes. It's part of a public right-of-way as developed by the city of St. Louis. So that's the only place MSD owns a creek and stream. Creek and streams anywhere else are owned by local subdivisions. They're owned by oftentimes ratepayers. Property lines go into or across there. Sometimes there's easements across them. Some of the older parts of the district, there are actually easements or lines where the property stops, and there's and who owns the creek is completely blank. You can interpret that's whatever farmer owned the property, I guess, before they developed the site. So the ownership sits with the owners of the property right now. As far as responsibility for cleaning those, they're not public, again, not public assets. We did on our last rate proposal indicate if there's any kind of blockage, it's going to cause severe flooding. For instance, local creeks and streams where large logs blocked down and the water is going to, under a small storm, cause flooding. Or we've also offered if there's ever blockages in creeks at bridges or at culverts that's causing problems. We've got the equipment that we can remove those. So we did put those services into the 2016 election we put in place. Right now, there isn't anything that's an O&M for that. Most municipalities, especially using some of the grant money, are going after cleaning creeks and streams on their own. Hanley Hills, Crestwood, some of the other ones are using those monies. As long as they do it according to, again, there's multiple entities here, MDNR rules and Corps of Engineer rules, and do any cleaning that they feel is appropriate.
One quick follow-up. So in U City, let me be more granular. Are you saying that it is dependent on where the outflow, where the blockage is, that's who's responsible? Or you alluded to the fact that MSD is willing to come in certain circumstances and clean those out. How is that determination
specific to University City? If there's large blockages, I know you got a lot of bridges that are very low and within the flood of there. If part of the problem is debris, such as large wood and stuff catching up on piers or causing blockages, we have the ability and the equipment to reach down, grab that material and take it away. If there is a fully concreted vertical wall, vertical bottom channel, we do claim responsibilities for those. So we will clean those out. If it appears that whatever's debris is in there has actually got a chance of causing a severe flooding issue, we're not going to routinely go through and sweep everything and get the gravel out and stuff. We won't be doing that. But I would think it's probably on a case-by-case basis. If you see something, and I know this happened with U City before, they've asked us to go out and look. Sometimes it's not something we'll do. Sometimes it is severe enough, it's something we'll put the resources towards to take out.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. I'm glad we're talking about this because this was one of the reasons I asked for this opportunity. So I do a lot of research and go through minutes and look at past events. And I've looked up every event that MSD has come to a council meeting, and there was a meeting in September, on September 22nd, 2008, following a flood where Councilmember Price, who used to sit in Mr. Clay's chair, and I'll read from the minutes directly. Mr. Price asked about the debris and overgrowth in the channels affecting the water flow. And this is in the context of talking about University City. Mr. Holscher said that MSD is responsible for cleaning out debris and overgrowth of River De Pere. That those minutes don't reflect this type of nuanced answer.
No, they sound like a partial documentation of my answer.
Okay. I'll have to, I guess, do a little bit more digging. I do have a couple of other questions. So specifically related to the stormwater projects, 11308 Pennsylvania to Kingsland channel rehabilitation, replace 1130 feet of concrete channel downstream of Pennsylvania. And there's been obviously a lot of discussion in this community. There was, I don't have the minutes from a meeting where the channels behind Royal Bank were specifically referred to, probably about the same time frame, 2008 to 2012, talking about how those channels tremendously increased the speed of the water. And then specifically the channel behind Royal Bank that goes under Olive goes towards Groby Road and goes back to a normal channel. And the water kind of has nowhere to go because it's got to slow down tremendously. And these, again, this is stuff that was talked about 10 to 15 years ago. So I guess my question is replacing a concrete channel, in your view, the best practice when it comes to stormwater management, in particularly in areas of University City?
So I'll let Brad address that. In general, it's illegal to build concrete channels anymore. You're correct. They were put in a different place in a different time. Brad can come up. Now, we do take responsibility for them and repair them whenever they're in disrepair and going to cause other issues, or if they're going to disturb the function of our sewer system that's also located within the easement of River De Pere. As far as the needs, Brad, I'll let you give the exact project needs.
Yeah, the project you're talking about, it's to replace 1,130 feet of existing concrete channel. So there's an existing concrete channel there now.
No, I understand that. My question is that a good practice given what we know and what the Stormwater Commission here knows about what concrete channels do to waterways and the speed of water and the effects that has downstream?
There was probably a reason that the original concrete channel was built. Usually it has to do with the proximity of the houses around there, but I'm not familiar enough to say in that case.
Okay. And Mayor, I have one more question if I can do. So I want to jump to basement backups. And I had a question because I had actually a second ward constituent contact me about the sewer backups that occurred on Stanford. And I think we all regularly get at least some questions from residents about my sewer backed up. What can we do? I'm a real estate agent. I've dealt with clients who have had backups, had two or three, and MSD comes, we'll do the backflow prevention system. And so that was always my understanding. You know, if there were documented cases and you'd have to take pictures and show that clearly that was happening. One resident contacted me who lives on the bottom of Stanford, which kind of bends around and joins Amherst. And so on July 26th and 28th, we had two severe rainfalls. He had a backup, and most of his neighbors did, on the 26th and the 28th. And he was told by MSD that that's considered one event, even though they were two totally different storm systems 2 days apart.
If you will give me that address, we'll look at that. That doesn't, I've got a broader answer for that question, but I think we need to just relook at that. I think I'm going to give context to your question. I agree, we will go look at it. MSD has a backup insurance program that will take care of backups in the basements as long as it's not caused at the home by overland flooding. So when overland flooding comes around the homes, if there's basement backups associated with it, our insurance program will not pay for it. If you are far enough away from the overland flooding, but obviously the sewer system has now been filled up because of the flooding, we will pay for backup insurance up to $2,900 for any backups that are caused. In those events you mentioned, not just in U City, but everywhere, we pretty much have stopped basement backups except in very, very heavy storms and especially flooding events. You can imagine whenever there's homes, development, or anything in floodplains, MSD is then required to provide sewer service. And when we do that, that sewer system fills up to whatever the level of the flooding is everywhere. So it depends on where they stood. My point is sometimes the call gets different, gets missed as to are they in the area of overland flooding or were they just because their neighbors were overland flooded and they didn't get it and it came up through the basement. We can go relook at that particular property.
I would be more than happy to talk to you about that. And one last quick question. The sewer lateral program, the $50 that gets tacked on, you know, our annual property tax bill, that was established and capped 20, 30 years ago at a maximum of 50. And entering communities like us, at this point, with the age of the community, have tremendous need for those funds. And we have plenty of people in our community that really need that program. But we're capped at 50. And, you know, we've had significant challenges with the sewer lateral program. Can MSD go to the state and ask for that cap to be raised for the communities that might be interested in that?
I think we would be willing to join in with the request that that gets done. We certainly can advocate and express how important the issue is. Understand you're talking about an insurance program for private plumbing. Right. That's not one of MSD's assets. So we have to be a little careful, but we definitely would advocate if there was a move by the advocates that you have or the Muni League or anybody else who wants to raise that cap, we would be willing to support that and express that there is an actual need.
Thank you.
Mr. Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm in Ward 2, live on River to Pier. This is a follow-up to Mr. Clay's situation. We have a stormwater commission that has done extensive study. These guys have put measurement devices in stream, et cetera. And Bob Christ and I spent a major chunk of the day, and I know you know the name. So
yes.
We looked at four bridges that have had debris very easily removable that have been here for like 5 years now. The Hanley Bridge has a huge tree under it. The Groby Bridge has got a huge tree under it. We have a huge debris bank as you come around by the Pennsylvania Bridge with debris under it that should be easily clearable. My question is, you say that you have the equipment to do it. Obviously, I always thought River to Pier was your problem, not our problem.
However, it's our problem.
It's yes. our problem. Yes. Got it. But how do we get this stuff out of here if you're saying that we can do it?
So if your staff, and I think they do know who to call, if you want to do that removal, just contact us. We'll go out and look and we'll do the removals. We don't know unless we're told. So I think at the end, I know some of your staffs here will find if there's specific locations. Next week, we will send the manager of our yard out to see, go out there and see, is this fall in place where we can do those removals?
All right. I have it identified here. I'll make this available.
Oh, that's terrific.
And add to that just one more issue.
Sure.
Three of those bridges, according to, I think, your guys, definitely according to my crew, are too low. The Pennsylvania Bridge is too narrow, too low, and the water has to condense and compress to go through the channel and underneath. Is there any plan to raise any of these bridges?
Well, those are University City bridges. Those are not MSD's bridges.
Some of them are county bridges.
And the county bridge, we're not the county either.
All right.
So they, if they plan on raising them, they may. I know I've seen, at least through the FEMA maps, I think just about every one of your bridges are in the floodplain level up to after a 10-year flood and have impacts on flooding and River to Pear once you get to a 10-year storm or a 10-year flood. It's been like that for a long time. But I think the bridges aren't MSD's. The bridges are owned by the city, county, or whoever.
But going back to the debris thing, would that could be a joint project that will, if you have the equipment to remove it and take out some of this collected debris that is mostly sandbank, that would open up that channel. That's possible to do.
Yes. Said. Yeah. I think you contact us. We can work through that. I'm sure thank there's you. At least some of that we can get done.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. Just two questions. Well, first of all, and maybe just a notification. In the 7200 block of Olive, right at U-Haul, on the west side of U-Haul, there is a line, a concrete line, sewer line, that is in just been in bad shape for years. And so, again, you stated that earlier that MSD can come and repair these concrete channels, if I heard you correctly. And I'm just wondering why that has never been corrected or fixed or, you know, and again, so just giving you a notice that
sure.
It's in the 7200 block. It's right on the west side of the U-Haul right there.
Okay.
And if you take a look at that, it's been a mess for years. Okay. That's the first thing. Second thing,
I'm going to ask you to clarify. Sure. So make sure you get the first one right. When you say sewer, are you talking about an open channel with two side walls and a bottom?
It's not an enclosed structure. No, okay. It's not. Right. Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
We've got that one.
Okay. And the reason I mention that is because even though that's in the second ward, U-Haul flooded in this last event. And that could have been part of the reason why U-Haul flooded.
So,
you're the expert, but I'm just simply saying, you know, so there were people that had things in storage and they lost a lot of their property. So just wanted to mention that.
Somebody mentioned Mr. Kriz before. I believe his statement was, you're not going to engineer your way out of this. I completely agree with Mr. Kriz on that one.
Okay.
So
then my second question is, and I want to take you back to something Councilmember Hales brought up, and that is with backup, sewer backup, which is something that specifically happened in my area on the north side of Olive in the same area of U-Haul. And what I'm, you know, if you could explain, why would it take more than one event or two events in 5 years to actually have any coverage from MSD? And what I mean specifically is their residents asking for backup valves to install. And what we're told is that you need to have two events in 5 years to actually qualify. So if you can explain that, because I don't understand why we need to have another event happen right. Like that, if you understand what I'm saying.
So there are a set of rules they have laid out. I would say if you've got a customer, give us that name. Understand those valves are not without risk. They could also cause problems potentially. Somebody flushes something down the sewer, it clogs it, and then the person floods themselves.
Okay.
So there's something about not having that. We are careful. We do it. If you got an ad, I'd like that address again. We'll go look at it. Now for coverage, when you mentioned coverage, the backup insurance coverage will apply all the time. It doesn't take a number of events. That'll be on the first one, but on the backup, it is very much a call. I think along River to Pear, most of the homes, I believe, are on combined sewer systems. Oftentimes, there's not ability to daylight the downspouts. You can't have any kind of stormwater connections at all on the lateral if you're going to do it. There's just a lot of things you have to look at. But the best thing is for us to go look at that location again.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Couple of questions myself. I don't know that I missed it, but when Councilmember Hales asked about the 26th and the 28th and the backflow, were those for damage purposes considered two separate events or one?
So you don't get paid twice if the same stuff was damaged and never replaced. It's like an insurance claim. We have had some folks who got a backup. It caused damage to their property. No time to do it. Or sometimes if there is time, people won't do anything with it. If damage occurs and it's the same stuff that was already damaged getting wet again, we won't pay twice for that. Okay. The $2,900 is up to $2,900 approvable claim.
Okay. And then the second is, you had mentioned that the rate increase going forward is for stormwater, which I get, but your charter doesn't include it. And we agree, I believe most of us agree, that if there's going to be one overarching group that's going to take care of stormwater, it's probably going to be MSD because you're the natural choice, even though you're wastewater, not stormwater. Is there any benefit to you to have the charter changed?
Well, we are stormwater. If we have the charter changed based on our past experience, we would definitely require revenues before we change the charter. There's also state law. State law lists the individual municipalities as being the floodplain managers. We'd expect the ability to say no to development in a floodplain. We would expect the ability to say, no, you can't rehab that destroyed house, has to come out of the floodplain. There's a lot of things that go back and forth about whether you want us to manage the floodplains and manage the flooding. I think it'd take a pretty long discussion. If MSD would be willing to add it to the charter, it's something we go to folks and ask them. Based on the experience we've had of not having funding west of 270 for 25 years and sewers falling apart, we would make absolutely sure we knew exactly what the scope was and that the dollar, the revenue source was in place before we'd even consider taking over anything like that.
Yeah.
I think that is something we could think about.
Well, I'm not sure that it's necessary. Mine's just more of a clarification.
Yeah, I'll be quite honest with you. We've been in this a long time, and you just see what's going on throughout the world, country, state, area. First thing is to get people out of floodplains. I mean, that is just the solution. I'd hate for us to spend a lot of money, solve something, and then now five of the 100 are out of the floodplain, the other 95 get flooded again. I think Mother Nature is trying to tell us something. I'm just giving you my tout is that's the way this thing is working. And so I'd be real, real careful again about trying to engineer our way out of anything. I think moving might be a better option. So.
Mr. Rose.
I just had a couple of questions. One is, what is best practices as it relates to the management of stormwater on a regional basis? I guess I'm curious as to what other states do, but also how does Kansas City, that area, handle the management of stormwater and wastewater?
Yeah, it would be great to be able to do it on a regional basis. I think we don't have the funding resource. Right now we're managing the actual storm sewers and inlets. It has nothing to do with flooding, unfortunately. We're doing that on a regional basis, putting the resources where needed, extra attention. Regional is it. Kansas City does it regionally because they are part of a municipal corporation, the municipality, and they're able to do it within the whole area. And they have a couple places like that. We, as we grew up, as the way our area got together, I explained this to the Kiwanis this morning. Every time there's a flood or a lot of water or somebody wants to clean a creek, it's you guys, it's us, it's MDNR, it's the Corps of Engineers. There's a fifth agency I can't even think of. They've all got a different set of rules that we got to make sure we follow as we move forward. We're not set up to do it that way. Now, if we get the funding and we can go at things regionally, Mr. Rose, I completely agree with you. That's the way to do it. We can find the right place to... kind of like we're able to do because of the consent decree in the combined area in St. Louis, where we buy out neighborhoods in the right places because they're flooding. They're also the great place to put detention because Mother Nature's telling us, if I make it flood, that's a great place for you to put detention. So we're doing some of that in the highly urbanized combined sewer areas in St. Louis because it makes sense. University City would look a little bit different. It would probably be, yeah, you have to rely on my folks back here, but trying to find out how to take care of some things now. And it's always a matter of size. I think the solution's not a bunch of 20-year storage basins, because as soon as you get a 500-year flood, they'll fill up and you'll get your 500-year flood. But I agree with it regionally, but we've never had the resources to do it. We're addressing wastewater regionally. It's the right way to do it.
The other question I had is, as the communities go about preparing the various stormwater master plans. A good example is we're underway with our own. I think that Brentwood likely has one, as well as Ladue, and there are probably various other ones. What is the body that ensures the connectivity of all of those stormwater master plans? because one of the concerns that the Corps often raises is you can't do a project that creates any downflow challenges, speeds up the water, so forth. But is there a body that is looking at all of those plans and ensuring that they integrate well together?
So, yeah, I think any stormwater improvement, public or private, has to be reviewed by MSD just for that reason. If anybody goes in and they disturb a property more than 1 acre, they have to review it with us. Are there downstream stormwater problems? Are you putting the appropriate detention in? That's all MSD's responsibility. But I think on a, you know, in a bigger way, what was I going to say with this? I'm looking to agree with you. I think a lot of that oftentimes happens. Your staff has been very good over the last, my experience, 20 years, along with, you mentioned Brentwood, Crestwood, Ledoux, they Clayton, they do these plans, they bring them to us, we compare what we know. There's something that's more better local. There's other things that, now you have to wait on this because there's something we're doing here two municipalities down. They have to be a multi-municipality project. That doesn't always work with us. Sometimes one municipality doesn't want to have a job in their municipality if it's going to help the person downstream, but we fight through those issues. So that coordination happens on the data, coordination happens there. And it happens now. And so I think the city, University City, I'm assuming when the study's done, come to our staff, go through what have we got, what makes sense, what are priorities, who knows something that the other one doesn't know, and we go through that process. That's what we do with just about every municipality in our district.
Thank you.
Mr. Clay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. So if I heard you correctly, you articulated that it's your belief that folks who are in these floodplains and just perennially at risk, removing them, buying them out is probably the most appropriate option because Mother Nature is telling us that's where the water wants to go.
Let me give you just a little example. Somebody mentioned Brentwood and Brentwood Bound, which is their $50 million project. They're going to lower the 100-year flood level by less than 6 inches. But they're also mostly getting people out of the floodplain and opening up the floodplain so it can work properly. My belief is you need to get people out of the floodplain that really need to get out. I would love to be the time where you've gotten everybody out that really needs out, and then you can do some engineering on the fringes to see if you can save some things. But I think we did a calculation one time, if I'm not mistaken, I think there's $2.5 billion worth of real estate in our area that's in floodplains and regularly gets flooded. And I think that's the place to start. Anything is kind of a false economy. None of us want to do a $100 million job, and then everybody who was supposed to be protected gets flooded 3 years later. And that's kind of what's going to happen here.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. So I want to jump back to these concrete channels, which we've talked about several times that you own those.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. So what if our stormwater master plan says that those concrete channels are wholly inconsistent with our stormwater master plan? Then what happens?
So we would probably look to you to help us buy out the adjacent properties that are there right now, like Brad said, probably because that's why there's a concrete channel that was built by probably University City 70 years ago, that those should come out. We should open up the channel, widen out the banks. That's something we would work through. Again, like Brad said, whenever you're doing that, they were built for a reason. Usually development reasons is the reason that those types of things were put in. It's something we could look at doing. It's a pretty difficult process. And again, I'd be real, real careful. Again, looking at your map and you just see every bridge that's in there. Taking that down, be careful you know exactly what it is you're solving and what you're not resolving by spending all the money and going through that effort. And I think it's something we could look at. Right now, we've taken the path that if they're in place, if people want them moved, the adjacent property owners will look at taking them out. That happens rarely. Most of them want to leave it there because they like their yard that goes right up to the top of the concrete channel.
Absolutely. There was another set of minutes that I don't have in front of me that I found, I believe it was from like the late 80s or early 90s. I believe it dealt with Mona And that was an initiative looking back. My recollection of what those minutes said was that MSD was kind of the driving force, and U-City had a match similar to a federal grant, like U-City had 20% or 30%, and MSD picked up the rest. When we start talking about these channels and who owns them, I guess I'm a little confused. It'd be interesting to know when each of them were built and who built them. My last question is, how many combined sanitary discharges are there currently in University City into River De Pere?
Okay, we can get the number and see what it is. I will let you know the goal of those discharges. Right now, prior to starting the project, they discharge on average 50 times per year. For the water quality of River De Pere, our plan and schedule, the work we're putting in, is to make sure they don't activate more than 4 times per year. That's the directive from the EPA.
Okay, thank you. And a number of the other utilities, particularly Ameren, Missouri American Water, have government outreach liaisons that have our email addresses, contact us, or a point of contact if we have a resident that needs help with a utility. I'm not aware of anybody from MSD. I think it's profoundly helpful for folks like us to be able to direct people to the right people. So I just wanted to share that.
So we usually go through the administrations who know who to contact. We don't necessarily go to the legislative bodies of each. We've got 92 municipalities. But we can make sure we provide that here, and one of the legislative bodies, municipality, can call us, and we'll
thank
do
you.
That.
That would be helpful.
Ms. Klein.
Yeah, I just wanted to come back to this map and clarify. So this project that's slated for 2032 with the new tunnels that will be coming through.
Yes, it's scheduled to start, I think, is what Brad said.
I just kind of wanted to kind of circle back and say, how is that going to affect future flooding? Because that was not.
So those large tunnels, whenever you hear combined sewer tunnels, have absolutely no impact on flooding.
Okay.
So all they are meant to do is, we mentioned we're going to take the discharges from 50 per year to 4. The method of doing that is to put a big enough structure in so that all but 4 storms per year can go in that tunnel, sit, wait till the storm's done, and then we'll feed it into the treatment plant to be treated so it doesn't go into the local creeks and streams. It will not impact flooding.
Okay, thank you.
With that, thank you very much for you and all of your team for coming out to join us this evening. We appreciate your time, and I'm sure that the information will come back and forth.
Yeah, Mayor, what is the way for us to collect? If we need data, will you forward that to us from some of the, we had some questions and some locations, and do you want us to stay to collect that, or what's the best way to do this? We want to make sure we've got everything.
Mr. Rowe says that we will provide it to you.
That'd be terrific. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Rowe.
Study session is now adjourned, and we will commence the public session as soon as we take a quick break.